everyone should ensure that their mobile telephones are turned off or switched to silent, and the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may temporarily be excluded for discussion of in-committee items. Members of the public and press must refrain from using the instant messaging facility during the meeting, and anyone found to be doing so will be given a warning. Failing to adhere to the guidelines for a second time will result in being removed from the meeting. I'd remind members of their obligation under the Council's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the chamber or hang up from the call for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where the Council is considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system on the computer, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before speaking. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. Please ensure if you wish to speak on an item, either in the chamber or via Teams, use the chat facility to indicate your wish to speak. I'll bring members in as listed. I would remind members to keep their instant messaging to the following letters. Type Q if you wish to ask a question or C for a comment. Type P if you wish to propose. Type S if you wish to second. Please refrain from making any other comments using instant messaging. If you need to leave the meeting early, please indicate via the chat facility so that we are aware this is an active decision and does not indicate connectivity problems. All right, folks, any apologies? Councillor Valerie Hart as an apology. Okay. is there any other apologies that need to be recorded? Councillor Kelly, yeah. Anyone else? Councillor Leanne McAvoy? No one else? All right, perfect. All right, item number two is declarations of interest.
Sorry, Chair, I had just a comment in there, if that's okay.
There's no chairperson's remarks, Councillor Finnegan, so we're going to move on.
There's only four apologies.
There's
three of us have another meeting, so we have to be gone at the latest 7:15.
Okay, all right. I'll try and keep the questions limited to that so that we're not all here at 7:15. All right. Okay, declarations of interest? None. All right. Okay, item three is the Northern Ireland Federation of Housing Associations, and we have Seamus and Anita. Seamus is the Chief Executive of the Housing HIFHA. You can explain exactly all of what that means. And Anita is the Director of Development at Radius Housing. So I think we've got the presentation on screen. So I'm going to hand over to you first, Seamus, if you want to hit your mic.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much to committee members, councillors. As stated, I'm Seamus Lenny, Chief Executive of the Northern Ireland Federation of Housing Associations. So I'm just going to give a very brief overview of what the sector looks like and just explain about how social and affordable housing is delivered in Northern Ireland. And also I'll drill down on the second side, exactly what will be of interest to you within the local as well. I'll just give you an update of the land. And I'll let Anita introduce herself when she comes on as well. And she's the expert on development and provision of homes for large members. So what NIF is, basically, as I said, there's 20 housing associations in Northern Ireland. And as you can see there on the first slide, there's just under 60,000 homes across Northern Ireland that are managed by housing associations here. Last year, you can see there just in the green bit, there was 1,449 new social homes completed across 82 schemes. Now, that there, it's an impressive figure. It's a lot of homes delivered. However, really, if we want to hit the waiting list in Northern Ireland, we need to be building minimum 2,200 homes a year. The figure is down in that because we rely on the grant funding from the executive, which is funded by the Department for Communities. And the way the funding mechanism here is in Northern Ireland is that the department will always be like the majority shareholder, if you like, for new schemes. So let's say, for example, the department will fund approximately 55% of the cost of building a home, and then the likes of housing associations and Anita make up the rest of the money from private. You never borrow more private finance than what you get on the grant. So as the grant diminishes, the ability to borrow money from the private is reduced as well. But you can see the benefit of that as well, because obviously for every pound we get from government, we can almost double it then housing associations, so we can build more homes. Large employer in the area, over 3,300 people directly employed in the area, with significant contribution to salaries. Obviously, so you can see the money as well, total borrowings invested by housing associations here. So in the construction sector or maintenance sector, there's £1.47 billion invested there. And then the last thing there, you can see in the bottom, housing needs. So as on the 30th of September, there was just over 45,000 applications on the waiting list, of which 33,000 just over are deemed in distress. The update, that figure was updated on Friday, and the figure now has risen to 46,461. And I suppose basically what we're looking at here, during the same period, October to December of last year compared to the year before, the number presented as being homeless is up 14%, an additional 400. So it's a problem getting worse and worse here. It's a major challenge both to government, to the housing executive, and the housing associations to make sure we have homes for those people. Well, within the borough here, within Newry, Mourne and Down, as of the end of 2023, we have 3,942 applicants on the waiting list. So quite a big number here. If I go on here to the second slide, you can see this is what will really interest councillors here. You can see exactly how it appears here within the council area. So I'll look at the existing housing type. So what type of homes are housing associations providing here? You can see 75% are general needs, 18% sheltered, 7% are supported. So that general needs is just someone who's given the keys to a home. They'll get some general support from their housing association, but they're able to live independent. Sheltered are people, obviously, that are brought in and need some type of care and help. And then, obviously, supported living then is the ability. It's given people the opportunity to live independently and not in residential care through health trusts. You can see there's just over 2,700 homes provided by 10 associations. The breakdown being here, Radius obviously represented here tonight. And then we look at total unit completions. April 23 to January 24, we had 60 units completed within the council area here, which is significant here, which is very positive. You can see there just at the bottom, there's currently 571 units currently under construction within the area here. So there's a significant amount of work taking place, which is good news for the area. And then we've got an additional 230 units programmed to start. And then the final two bits there, you can see here on the left-hand side, new tenant makeup. You can see, so what does it look like to typically lives in homes here? You can see the largest is single parents, making up 34%, 29% single adults, and then 23% those aged over 60. And then the breakdown of property units here as well. You can see the largest amount of homes here, 38%, would be three-bedroom homes, and then followed quickly by the two-bedroom. So I think that gives you a good – it's a varied sector here, and it's one basically where I would say to you from a councillor's point of view, we're under a lot of stress with the budget, and from what we're hearing, the budget for developing more homes this year is coming under strain again. And that's a call, obviously, we're making to the executive office and the FC minister as well, that we need that not just protected, but enhanced the funding. So that's all from me for now, and I will hand over to Anita.
Thank you very much, and good evening to everybody. As you know, I'm the Director of Development with Radius. I'll speak a little bit about Radius, but I'll be speaking from the housing sector. So this is just a little bit about what we've done and what we do in the this area. So we're an organisation that's about 100 million a year turnover. We've over 1,000 staff because we do a lot of our direct care ourselves. We've supported housing and specialise in dementia care. And maintenance being a massive issue for us as well, which we will touch on. And we would have about 600-700 throughout the Northern Ireland under construction. So when you look at that, that's from an economical point of view, we're probably 200 million plus as a contribution. That's us alone. And then when you multiply that up to the whole sector, it obviously has a major contribution. And we've been in this area for a long time. Radius has emerged from BIH and Fold. So there's a lot of Folds in this area, which would be stock that's been here for a long time. And just to say, it's not just always the new build, it's making sure that what we have, we maintain. So there's been a number of programmes there in Glenfold and Donardfold, which are both in Newcastle. Major work has just taken place there, and in Merchant's Court in Newry. There's work ongoing there for that as well. So we're constantly doing major plans on top of the response to try and keep our stock in good condition. And then when we look at what have we've just done, so this is off the Drummond Lane Road. We had real issues with this project. The contractor went bankrupt in the middle of it, but we've handed it over, and the last house was handed over just before Christmas. And it actually is very, very nice property. Newry is a particularly difficult place to build. Either on a hill and it's full of rock or it's a bit damp, but I think it's a really nice development that we have there. And similarly, this is one in Ardmore, which is out to Belfast Road, 45 units. Again, we did this as a design and build, completed about 18 months ago. And then we have a scheme in Castle that's under construction. And for Cat 1, as Seamus has said, this is for active elderly, and elderly being 55, which I find very offensive now. So this is independent living. You have some technology there, but it's about safety. It's right on the front, absolutely stunning. Wouldn't mind having my name down for that, and hopefully that's coming in summer 2024. In Newry, we're working on a few other schemes as well. One that the councillor involved in North Street, that we've just started to work with the housing executive there for 24, and then another few. And I know throughout the area there's a lot of work that's going on. As Seamus had said, we would like to do more. We're dictated or restricted by what there is support for. As Seamus said, we want to do, need to do 2,200. This year there was funding for 1,500, and we're really worried it's going to be less. We're going out for private funding again towards the end of the year, and it'll be somewhere in the region of 150 million. That does us for about 3 to 4 years. So we're constantly going out to get money so that we're in a position, as are all of our colleagues in the social housing sector. We don't really care who's building them as long as we need. Yeah, and questions?
Thank you, Seamus. Thanks, Anita. Okay, questions, members? It's been Councillor Lee Surgener.
It's for Anita. So in Ballinhinchley there are loads of folds, and that's great. But there's been the request for more social housing in Ballinhinchley. Have you any desires? Obviously not yourself, but like is any plans to go back to Ballinhinchley to develop more social housing?
So we would be determined. We haven't anything, I know, for us at the minute. So we get a prospectus out, and I know the housing executive comes in and talks to everybody. And from that, they determine where there's need in the area, and they will determine the towns that have that demand. So somewhere like Ballinahinch, there may be a significant demand, but it may translate to a lower number. So one scheme may take that at the minute. So it isn't something, but if there's anything that we can do, or if there's sites that you would want me to take a look at, please feel free to contact me directly.
That's great. Thank you.
Okay. All right. I'll take Councillor Finnegan and then Councillor Andrews. Councillor Finnegan.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, I just say that unless I missed it because it was in and out there with sound, but you've mentioned South Down, you've mentioned the Newry area, but unfortunately have not mentioned South Armagh. And I would like to know what is the story with South Armagh, certainly for social housing. And one other thing I would say is that you mentioned about maintenance and upgrades and all the good stories. And unfortunately, time and time again, we do hear the negative stories, which is not great. Just in terms of getting people getting maintenance and having to wait years for it. And I understand that there is budget constraints and that goes with everything. But I think whenever you see all those beautifully built homes, which is great to see, I just feel disappointed that in South Armagh area hasn't been mentioned for new social housing, and that the houses that are already existing oftentimes are left in very poor conditions until they are fixed. Thank you.
Thanks very much for the presentation, Stephen, and very interesting to learn a bit more about what you do. In relation to, I know in rural Ireland and in other areas, there are a lot of people who are left in houses, you know, I mean, that have become too big, you know, and we have wait lists of families, etc., waiting into housing. But maybe could the, yourselves look at the likes of providing fold type accommodation. You know, I know Councillor Lee Sturgeon touched on folds and Ballinahinch, but you know, the folds provide an essential service to provide residents with their own independence and security. And I'm just wondering, are there any plans look into providing more folds in the Rowallan area? Because there's constituents have come to me about it and said, look, I would love to downsize, but there's nothing to go to. And the fact is, you know, with me being here, I'm holding on to a house that could be more benefit to a family that would need it. So I was just wondering, are there any plans for fold type accommodation in the Rowallan area, if any sites could be identified to provide? Thank you.
So I can maybe answer some of you on the first question from Councillor Egan. Yeah, maintenance, obviously, and Anita might want to touch on as well. But we recently discussed this, the all-party working group on housing, and it was raised with the department. So we had our average figures just for responses. And for urgent repairs, we had a 91% success rate with achieving the KPI set by the department on that. And then for planned maintenance, then it was around about 1% or something, but I can happily share those figures that were shared with the department. Now, they're on repair work, obviously, where there is an issue with the property, whether it's an emergency or planned repairs. Happy to discuss with the council anymore if there's any other issues, and then maybe with any members. On South Armagh, I don't have any details. The figures that I have today is purely based on Newry, Mourne and Down, so I don't have the specific geographic breakdown on the areas with that.
I can... We have a number of properties probably in that area and have built over the last number of years. There's nothing at the minute. Again, I'm not throwing anybody under the bus here, but it's where there is need. We're quite happy if there is a real demand there and you don't think that we're concentrating on that, because we go and we look everywhere that there's demand. So we will quite happily. We had a phase in some of those areas and there wasn't support for them. So if there are places that you think there is real demand for, please feel free to get my email, drop me an email, and I'm quite happy to jump on a Teams or come down and have a cup of coffee with anyone. There are some areas of South Armagh and Armagh are deemed to be low demand, and there isn't a lot of deemed need. I'm not saying that we agree with it. I'm just saying that's where it is, but quite happy to look at that specifically. In terms of the fold scheme, or the folds as they're called, CAT 2, which is sort of a traditional fold where there could be a scheme coordinator that is in there, they're not getting developed anymore because they're all to do with supporting people and there's no additional funding for that. So that CAT 1 version that I mentioned in Newcastle, that's what is really getting built now, and those are for older people with independence. We are developing another model, and we've done some pilots called the Happy Principle. And that is a slightly bigger apartment, better light, and it's about as you age, that you can age with dignity. And if you have different illnesses or need some help, that the building is more flexible. And we're trying to develop those across the board as well. But technology is taking a lot to do with that as opposed to that personal intervention at the minute.
I'll take in Councillor Declan Murphy and then Councillor William Clark.
Thanks, Chair, and thanks for the presentation. It's really in regard to the issue that you've touched on, and that is demand. And I know it's the housing executive that make the calculation for no demand in particular areas and villages and towns and stuff like that there. I was just wondering, you know, how often do they review it? Because, for example, I know somebody that was looking to build 16 units, you know, for social housing. And in the village that he wanted to build, they said that the need was only for five units. Yet I'm in no doubt, living in South Armagh, that there's a multitude of people would move into those houses from other villages. You know, so unfortunately that's putting, you know, the cap that's been put onto that particular village is depriving, you know, others of houses because he simply couldn't afford just to build five. But the 16 would be more viable and obviously people would then have homes. So it's really around that, you know, how often, you know, I know they obviously have some figures, but how often do they review those figures? Because, for example, you know, in January, there could be a demand for 10 houses. By August, it could be up to 20, you know. So if you have any sort of way of enlightening me around that, I'd be more than grateful. Thanks.
Thanks, Sir Clark.
Thanks, Chair. No, Seamus and Nina, thanks very much for your presentation. I welcome the work that's happening in Newcastle. There's a chronic situation with people needing housing in that area. My question is in regards to maybe possible sites that may be available, and who do I go to maybe to arrange a meeting with maybe a landowner? Thank you.
First one there in terms of demand. So the housing executive will assess need. The big issue, and I cannot stress this enough, if people come to you, get them to put their name on the waiting list. If their name is not in the waiting list, and people don't put their name on the waiting list because they go, what's the point? There is no houses. But if you don't fill that up, then there's never any demand. If you think that there is a real demand and it isn't being reflective in what the brochure sent from the executive, because the housing executive review it every year, I think towards the end of the summer, and then they come out sort of at that stage. You can ask for a latent demand test, where they'll go out and they'll promote and try to encourage people that there may be housing, come put your name down, and if you put your name down, then that sort of, if you can get enough people, then that allows them to maybe support a small scheme that could come forward. So you could look to do that. In the instance of the one that was 16 and there were five, sometimes we can try and negotiate that up a little bit more if there's some demand for private as well. I think in this market at the minute, its viability is a real challenge for builders, especially small ones out in the country area. So we can look at that. And obviously in future potential sites, I'm going to be greedy here and not to go to any of my competitors. But like if you came through to myself, I have a manager who deals with identifying new sites, or other come to Seamus and he will put them out to my colleagues in other housing associations there as well.
I just add there as well, on the rural need, last year the housing executive had a target for rural social housing to make up about, it was 12% of all new social homes delivered. The actual delivery for last year was 4%. So you can see we vastly under target. Primarily the reason given was land availability was one particular issue. I know in some council areas there's usually issues around maybe objections and planning as well with regards to rural. And then I think Anita alluded to there as well. So also the financial viability as well. I think stack up as well. But it's something that we're really keen. We want to build more because we recognise the importance. You keep people living in the local community. It retains the viability of local schools and public services.
Thank you. Councillor Mathers and then Councillor Byrne.
Thanks, Chair. Thanks for the presentation this evening, and my remarks are for Anita, please. I'd like to ask a question around the Ardmore development. Belfast Road in Uri, a fantastic and much-needed provision for the area. At a recent PCSP meeting in Uri, this area was mentioned as an area of interest in terms of a slight rise in ASB in that area. But can I ask, does Radius have a dedicated housing officer for these new developments and other developments that residents and tenants can speak to directly, trying to alleviate some of the issues that are arising? Thanks.
And Councillor Byrne?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Councillor Murphy sort of touched on one of the questions I wanted to raise. See, when you're talking about South Armagh and the demand, obviously the housing executive do the figures. Like, I had a housing call with the housing executive today, and they pretty much told the person, you haven't a chance. There is no, the waiting list in South Armagh is enormous, absolutely enormous, and people sitting on them for years and years and years. So I find it staggering that. And this is the question I want answered, that you said that there was a scheme recently in South Armagh, I think I wrote down here, that you had a scheme that there wasn't much support for. Can we get more details on that and what the figures you have for the area? Suppose you said you could come down and have a coffee or have a Zoom call with councillors, but I think it'd be important that, especially for the South Armagh area and Slieve Gullion area, that maybe you come to the Slieve Gullion District Electoral Forum with those specific figures for the area of what the demand is, and so we can have a discussion of how we can move forward, because people are sitting on waiting lists since I've been a councillor in 2016, and they're going absolutely nowhere, and the housing executive pretty much telling people now that there's no point. I understand that we have to show that there is demand for the area, so getting people on the list, but it's bloody frustrating when you're sitting on the list for years and years and years and nothing's moving, and then to hear that there wasn't much support for a scheme, I find that astonishing. I know the last recent scheme in Fork Hill, I know the amount of people that had applied for it, the numbers went through the roof, and when the new schemes were coming forward, obviously the list increases exponentially, because people will put themselves onto a list when they know there's something coming up. So I think we need to, as councillors, dive into the figures a lot more for our own area and see that they actually reflect the reality on the ground. Otherwise, we're not going to be moving as fast as we should on this. So if we could have a specific meeting with the DEA with the specific figures for South Armagh and a wee bit more information on that scheme where there wasn't much support for, I'd be keen to know where that was. Thanks, Chair.
Then on Ardmore and the ASB, we have an office in Newry, as well as a Belfast, maybe Jerry one as well. So each of the schemes will have a housing officer. That is their patch. It is theirs, same as an asset officer, and there's a manager that deals with that as well. So if there are any antisocial behaviour, Ardmore is also a Housing for All scheme. So we have a community investment officer that will be working with that area as well. So if there are specific issues, feel free to contact myself and I can put you on to the Director of Communities as well. If there are anything that's coming there that you don't feel that we're managing properly, I think that's maybe the issue. But yes, there is. The question is there a housing officer? Yes, there is. And it would be for there and on specific areas throughout the borough. It would be different people, but they would be specific. And we've just recently for Radius, split our team into sheltered and general needs. We will be doing it, and we're getting a special ASB officer that is going to do maybe the really complex cases as well. So it is something that we appreciate. And with regard to South Armagh, I suppose I'm thinking Fork Hill, Cross and Glen, those type of areas. We've looked at sites. There's sites that have come forward to us when we've sought support. It hasn't been there, but I'm quite happy to come down, even meet you for a cup of coffee before, get the information or a Zoom call, and then I'm quite happy to come to the specific forum that you said. Not a problem at all.
Right. Happy enough for that. Do we need a thanks, Sir Vernon. You're proposing that we invite is it Anita from Radius that we're inviting, or is it Anita and Seamus? I sort of don't want to give anomaly to Radius in a way.
Yeah, for both reps, and I see Councillor Finnegan's second the proposal there is just to come down and go through the specific figures. I think that's really, really important. It's all right having a general high-level discussion, but as councillors, we really need to dive into the figures and get a grip of the issue in South Armagh, because maybe it's not being reflected properly in terms of the numbers, what we're seeing on the ground as councillors, and all councillors across Slieve Gullion will see that. So, yeah, we can put out, if we can get the chair of our DEA to write to them, if you can pass on the email address that we contact for both the people there.
Yeah, thanks for that. Sorry for interrupting, but I am happy to propose that, because I do think we need to look at the figures and look at the land that was proposed, perhaps, and that apparently nobody, that there was no interest in. I would be very, very interested to have that discussion. So thanks for proposing that.
Yep, cheers, Eva.
I was going to suggest, so that, as Seamus had mentioned, the Social Housing Development Programme tells what we're going to do in the next 2 to 3 years, and I can certainly look from that and see if there's anything in the area where other associations are, have got something planned, and bring them to, so that there would be a few of us coming down. Yeah. I think that might be really helpful.
Okay, yep, perfect. Thank you. Thanks, Chair.
Yep. All right, Councillor Enright, and then Councillor Hanlon.
Thanks, Chair. James, I presume you took over from Ben Collins, did you? And Ben did some great work in rural housing development in our area during his period. In particular, developing schemes near villages in rural areas, the sort of South Armagh and Lochiel areas. And in particular, when we were in the early stages of the development plan, we had a number of workshops on social and affordable housing, which were well supported by Ben, housing associations, and the housing executive themselves. And we examined PPS 21 and the way in which there were a number of issues surrounding it that prevented social housing in particular, but completely prevented affordable housing for sale as part of that process, then Councillor Willie Clark, who spoke earlier, and myself proposed a policy which was adopted by the planners in our department. And to the credit of our planners, they ran with it and came up with a very good policy document to be published as part of the new development plan, which would facilitate affordable housing for sale and social housing being brought forward by housing associations in rural areas much more easily, superseding PPS 21. So that was quite an important development. It's not going to obviously take any effect until our new development plan is published. But when I attended the Housing Executives Conference in County Tyrone late last year on community-led social and affordable housing, I discovered that our council was the only council that had brought forward proposals to deal with this as part of their development plan. Now, I have highlighted this to the Housing Executive. The department itself has supported the proposal from our council, with very few changes. So it's now got the imprimatur of the department as well as the support of the housing associated Ben and the housing executive, you know. So it just looks like a missed opportunity, because I know that although our area has the worst, from the housing executive statistics, we've got the worst rural housing stats in Northern Ireland by a country mile. There are other rural councils, Fermanagh, County Derry, etc., where they are struggling with rural housing as well, and they won't have this policy because, for some reason, we didn't share this policy with other councils when we were developing ours, you know. So I just think it might be a good thing, maybe if you could take up from where Ben Collins left off, and perhaps get other councils to adopt the policy that our council is going to have, hopefully as part of its new development plan.
Councillor Hanlon.
Yeah, thanks, Chair, and thanks very much for the presentation. It's just a touch on the latent demand. I think you made a really good point there in terms of it being, you can get a latent demand, appraisal or survey done. But I'm sure my fellow Downpatrick DEA councillors and Slave Crib will endorse, you know, that people will not put down their choices for areas where there is no social housing. And when I deal with housing every single day in the office, and as a local councillor, and people are nearly, they're like, what's the point? Because there's nothing there, and they're nearly afraid to use up their choices. Now, we know that that's not the case, that wouldn't happen, but I suppose in terms of the latent demand, I've been to quite a few from our meetings from different associations and the housing executive, and we talk about it, but I'm not sure, do we actually do it? Do we actively go out and periodically and say, right, we need to go to Clough, we need to go to Arglass, we need to go to Loch and Island, you know, and see, you know, where are we actually actively doing it because I don't think people will come forward unless we or you or housing executive go out and actually look for it. I do recognise as well there's a serious issue around land availability, and if we look at the wastewater structure, there's problems there. So how much engagement would you have with other departments in terms of that? And would you use feedback, for example, to the housing executive in regard to the point system? Because I know if we look at your presentation, and it is quite niche who you're providing the housing to, but they're probably the area where there is least availability of houses. You know, I'm thinking about one bed lets, as you said, over 55s, single people, vulnerable people, people who have additional needs, and you touched on the home for life as such, that it could be adaptable to different needs as we go along. But, you know, we have to recognise that the housing executive point system isn't working for quite a lot of people, and that needs reform. So as a housing association, would you feed that back and, you know, try and lobby the Department of Communities to change it? So thank you.
I'll come back on the first point, Councillor. Yeah, that's a really good. I think, you know, when I highlighted yesterday just how we've not been hitting the targets, you know, of 12%, you know, we've underperformed with rural delivery. I'd be really interested actually to look at that, Devon, what you have in your LDP here. I know most councils have them sign up. There's still a few going, but I know myself and Anita's been included. We've talked with OMA, Fermanagh, with Causeway Coast and Glens, Mid and East Antrim, which are large rural areas as well, and they have the same problem. But interesting to know that they haven't followed suit with what your council did. So I'll be interested to learn more about that as well and see maybe how we can maybe roll that. I know we did have a rural housing campaign last September and with basically the community network. I think that's something we're really pushing. How executive know about this, about the challenges? I suppose Nita might have some thoughts on that as well.
The housing executive are taking a large study at the minute because I was part of an interview for it. So they're commissioned University in Liverpool to do a study on how they can improve and get more development. It hasn't been published yet, so when that's, we'll certainly see if we can put a comment through. So I think it or a copy through. I think it is important. We want to develop. It comes with rural development. Comes with a lot of issues, some of that your colleague has mentioned in terms of capacity, connections and everything not necessarily being available. So I think some of that has to be built in. Some smaller communities want social housing, but I just don't seem to be able to ever pick the right site. When we do find some, so there's a lot that has, it's a very delicate balance when we're looking to do that there, but I think it is something that we're keen on. There is a lot of social housing. I mean, I came through from Newry today and drove through a number of little towns and passed some of the stuff that was ours, and that was great to see. So we're really great. On the points that you had asked, the latent defect or latent demand has to be led by the housing executive because they set the need. But I think you have more power, sort of, if you like, to encourage them to do that than we would. In terms of contacting statutory agencies, probably NI Water, we have a monthly meeting with NI Water. Across the board, we know where there's demand, we know where there's issues. We're having more issues with some other statutory and NIA and, you know, just capacities. There's a lot, you all know those issues, but there's a lot, not I'd be speaking for the whole sector. There's really good connections in through there. And I'll say on the point system, we agree with you. There's a fundamental review. It's not happening. We exactly think where you are. I would just say that when we develop schemes, we do a real mix. So we will have one bed, two bed houses, three bed houses, complex needs, older. So we try when we put it in to have a real mix and try to accommodate as many people and have a community that integrates well and is respective. But you know.
Yeah, on the allocations point, you know, you're right. I think there was like 21 points, 22 points had to be addressed. About 18 have been signed off and agreed. The three big ones are still outstanding. One being, you know, one rather contentious one is intimidation points. That will get you the most points and get you top of the waiting list on that. And that's something really that we would like to see reviewed. I don't think it reflects the need genuinely in an area a lot of the time. So there's still, that work's ongoing. We're engaging with the housing executive on that. But it's going to take some political will as well. Now that we have the assembly back, we may get some movement on that.
All right. Councillor McAteer and then Councillor Brown.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Yeah, folks, thanks for your presentation. Just a couple of questions around. Jim, do you, you really represent then the 10 associations for the 10 groups that offer housing, is that right?
Yeah, there's 20 in total, yeah, 10 you, within the borough here.
Yes, you, that's what you're representing here tonight as such, yeah. So could you just then tell us then, yes, you do say that you have budgetary problems in actually sticking the pace and being able to develop that. Also, I'm interested here then that your other barriers, is any of them surrounding the infrastructure, the NI Water's infrastructure, the wastewater discharge into the system? Because in the private housing sector, certainly it has been a problem, and I presume there's no difference there. So I'd like to hear what issues you've had and have had you problems there. And the other one just is that, again, I just noticed one of the groups you represent is the Rural Housing Association. Just give you one example. 14 units were approved by this council over two years ago, around there in the Crotleave area, which I represent. But there's still no diggers in the ground as yet. So what would be the problem there? For people coming forward for applications, but then 2 years later, nothing happening. So I know that's why I was asking who you're speaking on behalf of. You know, so a couple of little questions like that. Yes, and the other one is that in that wastewater discharge thing, do you work collaboratively, for example, coming together to contribute? Because they do ask the developer, and talk about NI Water, is ask the developer to put in part of the infrastructure or new infrastructure so as that can provide the housing that the planning's been given for. So do you work collaboratively to do that?
Is that all your questions?
I think, yep.
I'm going to move on to the next speaker. I'm taking two at a time. All right. Councillor Brown.
Thank you, Chair. It's really a question for Anita. I visited my sister there the weekend, and her housing provider recently upgraded the heating system to a biomass boiler. Not only has it seen greater efficiency in the heating in the house, but it has also drastically reduced her heating costs. Can you tell me, when we're looking at new build through Radius, will we incorporate renewable energy systems, be it solar panels or wind or air source heating? Because all we read about today is the increase in energy costs right across the north and indeed across the British Isles. So just a proposal to maybe consider renewable energy sources in new.
If I just come to Councillor's last point, the first point, working collaboratively, yes, there was a meeting I attended and the Chief Executive of Northern Ireland Water was there and the Northern Ireland Housing Executive. So it was agreed basically that where there's areas deemed of high housing need, so if the waiting list is particularly, you know, dense in certain areas, that there, they've agreed basically that will highlight it to Northern Ireland Water about its investment for infrastructure upgrades. So it's a case of everyone working together and saying, well, if we need to build more homes in a certain area, that's a place we need to focus on with regards to wastewater, freshwater, etc. The other area is really the barriers that are preventing with the statutories, and one that I think members have said recently has got worse, is with DFI, with roads. So getting approval for access, exit of roads, of developments, that there's a stumbling block for many. And then also, I think Anita alluded to as well, is Northern Ireland Electric as well, with the grid capacity. And I think that's what I think with the last comment suggests as well, when we're looking about maybe changing the grid, needs, you know, to like electric heat pumps, charging points for vehicles, there's more of a strain on the system. So that's going to be, I think, a problem maybe further down the line. I know it's something that Media and Radius are working on that. And the last point there as well, rural housing. I think that their 14 scheme, that's Harmony Heights in Ballyholland. Yeah, that slipped. That scheme is due to commence in 24-25. So it's due to start this year coming in now. I've not got any detail. I can find out for you, if you can get my contact details, I can find out from rural maybe what the problem might have been. Was it financial? Was it planning? Or was it one of these here things we talked about? I can find out and get an update for you.
Can't hear you, Declan.
You meant to go back and be supplemented. Yes, what you were saying there, we're working, kind of, you know, how this works. When you're working collaboratively with others, or, you know, or even within the group. So if you have to put money in out of your budget into providing infrastructure, surely that begins to suck your budget dry. And NA Water come down here, just like you do, and they make a presentation, and they're looking for us to have influence over the executive to supplement their budget. So you're, in one sense here, what we're doing is robbing Peter to pay Paul. So your budget suffers. You can't build houses. You can't build houses on two fronts, because they haven't the money to put the infrastructure in. You haven't the money to build houses. But yet again, they'll come and ask you for money to allow to complete the houses that you have or intend to build. So we do have a problem here. Very much so. That needs fleshed out, really, at maybe higher levels than here in this council.
Yeah. I don't know if you had any response.
I suppose, yes, we do contribute to NI Water. And it'll depend what the solution is. It could be a pumping station. We could be put in design fees. We can be asked to contribute out of a scheme in Belfast. It's £10,000 a house I'm asked to contribute, but we get it done. Big issue at the minute is the work that they're doing to downstream to allow us to, when we're on site, is slowing down, and that's a major issue. But we really work with them really closely. We try, because they're under really tight budgets and difficulties, so we do try to do that. In terms of our funding, it's the funding that's coming that we match, if you like. I think housing associations have the ability to raise more private funding, but we can't do it unless there's enough support. So that's it from I think that was all of your points, hopefully raised, or being Seamus and myself on yours.
Yeah, but quite useful answers. Thank you.
And then just on the sustainability, the housing associations, I think we do try and make as sustainable homes radius ourselves. Everything we're building from this year is EPCA, so that's above what we're asked to do. And we're actually looking at so PV panels, EG chargers, better insulation, we're looking at that. But we're also looking at ground heat source for a scheme we have in Belfast called The Scale. And if that works, it's the nearest thing we could find to gas, because it's easier to run. We've done some with the air source, and that can be quite difficult for people when a very low income, where you have to run it all the time. So we're looking at solutions that don't disadvantage our tenants, but actually we're really trying to help them when cost of living is really taken care. So that's what is really important to us. So yes, sustainability fundamental.
Right. I have a couple of questions, and I'll bring Councillor Emery back in. So we've talked about challenges in construction material costs. It's certainly been a challenge the past number of years. And speaking to builders, contractors, there is some materials coming down, but you've talked about funding quite a lot and the challenges around that. If funding was to stay the same today, would you still deliver the 1,500 today you can deliver now, or would the number of houses that can be delivered with level of funding, additional costs? So that would be one question. Second question, and something that I get quite a lot, is vacant properties. So the amount of houses that are social housing, or they're housing executive, and they're sitting there, like there's a football match on Saturday, and say, there's a house across from me that's been lying empty since October. Around the housing executive, and they say it's been given out, but the tenant's not moved in. Is there a process that says if you've accepted, you've a period of time to move in, or is there a process that's the same across all housing associations of saying we have a vacant property, it needs to be advertised, tended within the process? And it just seems, you know, the approaches are different, and I'm not going to bash Clanmill, but there's a Clanmill house in Strangford that has been lying empty for a number of months now, and the house in need, like, there's families that can't even afford to buy their own home in Strangford because the price of houses in there, and they're trying to stay close to family because it's a supportive structure, but there's a vacant house there as well that no one seems to know what is going on with it. So it's just trying to understand what is the process around that, and then just the question around funding. Councillor Henry, do you want to come back in quickly there?
Yeah, just maybe a suggestion. You and I should meet up afterwards. I know because I'm on the planning committee, I've seen the departmental response to our redraft of PPS 21, making it easier for housing associations to bring forward developments in rural areas like Strangford and affordable housing for sale as well. One issue that strikes me is that the reason why it might not have been copied, I think there may be some rule about draft policy documents not being published or not being shared. We need to investigate with our planning team. It would seem in this particular case it ought to be an exception because asking other councils to copy what we have done and what the department has already approved of us doing would seem to make an awful lot of sense. But there may be some technical issue there about not sharing until we are publishing our development plan.
Yeah, Councillor Henry, I take the merit of what you're saying. I would certainly suggest to Seamus that maybe Jonathan McGilley, who's our assistant director, the covers planning would be the right person. He can obviously fill in the likes of Annette McElarney or Pat Rooney, who are senior planners, work with you and seeing how we as a council do it and how that can certainly be worth it. I think your merit, Councillor Henry, but it would be good from that. So just responses and then...
Yes, funding is difficult. Every council area has a different level of funding, so they're saying the houses don't cost the same to build, right? So this area actually is sort of down a little bit, so it's meant to be, it's not just the land, actually the construction cost is meant to be cheaper here, same as the North Coast, we disagree with this, as you can see probably what I'm saying. So it would be difficult for us to do exactly the same, but it depends how they change those rules, and they change every year. That funding mechanism, and it's called a TCI, I don't want to get too technical, but it changes every year. So the amount that they give us that we and then have to match with private finance changes. So it's not an easy or difficult question, and probably one of the biggest things that's happened from an association's point of view is we would go out, get a big amount of money to do 4 or 5 years, we're coming to the end of those, so we're going into higher interest rates than what we've been used to, and that has an impact on our cash flow because we have to pay back that debt. So it's great that we can for every one house, you know, we can get two houses for one for a public cost, but it does have that implication. So it's not straightforward. We would like to hope that they would maintain it, and then we would try and do as many as we could, but there is a cost in that. Vacant properties, that's again a difficult one because there may be issues that could be damp that we need to do massive work. We may take the opportunity to do a lot more work on that property at that time. So it would depend on each of them. Sometimes we keep them empty if we're going to decant into them. So there would be lots of different reasons. But the other thing would be once we allocate it to somebody, we normally would allocate it and the next week their rent would start unless there'd been some agreement. So if I allocated to Seamus on a Tuesday, his rent might start next Tuesday or Monday. And then that all kicks in if they're paid. So it shouldn't, sometimes people might take a couple of weeks to go in because unless there was any complex needs and we were doing major adaptions or building an extension or something like that, but then you should be able to see that if that was happening.
There was the point as well when you're talking about inflationary pressure, going away from the development side of things. I touched on it earlier. There's a huge important piece of work that housing associations do through the Supporting People program. So it's people, enabling people with various vulnerabilities, disabilities, to live independently in social houses. And that involves a care package. The funding for that comes from DFC, from Helped Allocated Managed with the Housing Executive. That funding has remained the same since about 2014. No increase in line with inflation. So you can imagine what we've seen in 10 years with the cost of wages, with the material costs, many of the Supporting People services are now running at a deficit, and the rental income that housing association makes is now subsidising the care of very vulnerable people. And a lot of discussions that boards are now having in housing associations, that if they were a private sector business, the Supporting People arm, you would have to question the viability of running it if you're a private business. But we're doing this because if we dropped it, there's very vulnerable people there who would be left, and the responsibility would be left to the health trusts, who I think would really struggle to look after those people. So that's something we're really calling on. And it was good to see the Communities Minister acknowledge the importance of Supporting People programme recently. But I really fear for it in the future. It's something where health, communities and finance are going to have to work together, because if housing associations can only take carry this for so long before that inflationary pressure becomes too much.
Apologies that you prompted one other question and then I'll stop talking. You talked about budget and different areas, different prices. Does that influence all housing associations where they would plan a scheme, or do you have identified schemes for 5-year programs and the money that you need associations, or is the amount of money that you get influence what schemes actually get done?
So we will build, and I speak for all associations, anywhere where there's need. Right, that's just to take that. So what we do is we go out and look for sites, or people bring us sites, and then every August all the associations put their what they call their bid in. So we're bidding for the next 3 years worth of work, and the housing executive will look at that. So it could be one association's bid for 3 in Downpatrick and there isn't support for 3, so they will pick the one that they would want when it goes in. And that comes out sort of January, February time of each year. That doesn't impact. But if somebody brings me a scheme and they want £300,000 for a house and I can't pay £300,000 for a house, I'm not going to bid for that because I know that I can't afford that. So there is, I can't say that funding doesn't come into it, but we wouldn't go, if we're saying, we talked about Fork Hill, Cross McGlen or Newcastle or whatever, if schemes work, regardless of what way the funding is, we will take those forward and we will develop where there is need and we will develop across all of the sectors and everybody's the same. So, no, we won't do less difficult ones, if you like, but they do need to stack up. And it's the smaller ones that are harder to make stack. If you're doing 4 or 6 houses, it's very difficult, but we do it, and we do some add one-off houses as well, all associations do, for very complex needs.
Okay, members, I don't see any other questions or comments, so thank you, Seamus, for your time. It's a really great presentation. Thanks to Mark Terry, very last month, they have a proposal to write to the
department. Yeah, I think we should leave the people, let them leave with a bit of hope in their hearts. Not Liverpool's supporter, but
you never walk alone. I did ask, was wearing that from yesterday on the celebration. So Councillor McTeigh, you're proposing that we write to the Department for Communities Minister requesting that he protects and enhances the funding for social housing delivery in order to service the growing demand. Councillor Finn has seconded that. Is everyone content with that? Yes, everyone's happy. Okay, perfect. Thank you very much. See you from everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.